You've turned into the broadcast where the rubber meets the road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This broadcast is brought to you by His Will Ministry. His Will Ministry is not here to sell you a diet program, videos, DVDs, or even a tape series that will change your life. We're all committed to one thing and one thing only, pointing you to the person of Jesus Christ. His Will Ministry is a worldwide evangelistic ministry. This radio program is only one of our many outreaches. We hope that you will be encouraged in your Christian walk through this broadcast. We pray that today's message will bless you and strengthen your commitment in serving Jesus Christ. Come and learn more about our ministry by visiting our website at HisWillMinistry.org or email your comments to info@HisWillMinistry.org. We would love to hear from you. Your support and prayer for this ministry will help preach the gospel around the world. Stay tuned for Pastor Warner.
Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road. Tonight I'd like to talk to you about the Damascus Road Experience. For those that aren't familiar, let's start in Acts chapter 26, verse 12. Paul is describing his conversion when Jesus and he met face to face. Paul says, "While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me, and those who journeyed with me, and when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads?' And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things that you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to turn your eyes in order to turn them from the darkness to the light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me.'" Paul was trying to explain to the king, King Agrippa, what his conversion was like, what his experience with God was like. Have you had a Damascus Road experience? There should have been a place in your life as a Christian where you reached an ending. You reached an ending and had a beginning, and that beginning was your Damascus Road experience. Christ came to you. Christ opened up your eyes to the realization that you were a sinner. Look at Paul. Paul, prior to this, was what? He was a persecutor of the church. In fact, he was the most famous persecutor of the church at that time. Paul was so adamant about it, he had gotten letters from the Jewish council giving him the authority to imprison, to beat, to kill. Paul was standing by the feet of the first martyr when he was stoned to death. The coats of those that cast the stones were thrown at Paul's feet. So Paul, as Paul said, was a Jew of all Jews. But here Jesus came to Paul. Jesus came to Paul and said, "Look, Paul, I've got something else for you." Now, part of Paul's Damascus Road experience, of course, Paul's conversion was what happened. When Paul stood up, he was blind, and he had to be led into Damascus because he could no longer see. And for 3 days, we're told, he was in prayer and fasting until Ananias came and prayed over him and laid hands on him, and he was baptized and received the Holy Spirit. Paul's conversion was very dramatic, probably more dramatic than most of us have. But we all have that Damascus Road experience. There is a time in our lives where we reach that point of no return. And my question is, have you reached that point? If you're listening to this program, I assume, and I may be wrong, that you know Jesus. But how well do you know Jesus? Have you come face to face with the Lord? Has He touched your heart? Have you been touched by Him? We each go through these experiences. Let's look at one of the very first Damascus Road experiences that's recorded in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 on, we see Jacob's conversion. Now, those of you that know Jacob, the name Jacob meant supplanter. Jacob was a conniver. Jacob got everything he had through one way or another, conniving or stealing or working the system, so it worked out good for him. But here, Jacob is heading back to see his brother Esau, who he cheated out of his inheritance. And he's convinced that he's going to go see Esau, and Esau is going to want to kill him. He is convinced that Esau is going to take him, so to speak, on the carpet. So let's look in at chapter 32, starting in verse 24 of Genesis. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. And now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to them, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men, and have prevailed." And then Jacob answered, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. Now you notice, in Jacob's Damascus Road experience, he actually wrestled with God. That's why when Jacob said, "What is your name?" What was the response? "Why do you ask me my name, I pray?" Because this was Jesus. Jacob should have known who he was wrestling with. He had just told him, "You have struggled with God and man and have prevailed." And what's the first words out of Jacob's mouth? "Tell me your name, I pray." Sometimes we as human beings are pretty thick-headed. We just don't see things. We just don't get it. We just don't understand. Paul, even though he saw when he was stoning Stephen, he saw his face, according to the Bible, look as if it was an angel. He saw him on the ground, bloody, dying from being stoned, looking into the heavens and saying, "I see the heavens open and Christ standing at the right hand of God." Yet Paul, it took a face-to-face experience with Jesus. It took a face-to-face with Jesus to get his attention. With Jacob, Jacob had to wrestle with God for Jacob to be changed, for him to be converted. His name, Jacob, meant the supplanter, and from this point on, he became Israel, which then became the nation of Israel. Jacob was changed spiritually at his conversion. Paul was changed spiritually at his conversion. At Paul's conversion, he said, "Lord, Lord, who are you?" And Jesus said, "I am the one who you persecute." Paul was taken from the point of hating Christians to becoming instantaneously converted. His spiritual nature changed instantly. Whereas with Jacob, his spirituality changed too. But if we read earlier in Jacob, it says when he left to head back to see Esau, the angels accompanied him. He knew that God was with him, yet he still was trying to work out the plan and come up with some way of getting the brother, Esau, not to kill him. Just before he wrestled with God, he sent his wives ahead of him across the river, figuring, of course, that if Esau was mad, he would kill them off, and get his anger over, and then Jacob would show up on the scene. See, when we have our Damascus Road experience, it is a twofold experience. With Paul, that twofold experience was his change from being a hated person to a loving person, from hating Jesus to loving Jesus. Spiritually, he was turned around. Physically, he was blinded. And we read later on that Paul had problems with his eyes. So even though his sight was restored, he may have been changed forever physically. With Jacob, his hip was out of joint, and it tells us that when he went on the next day, he walked with a limp. Now, nowhere on does it say that his limp went away. Many theologians assume it's just like a regular wrestling accident. Jacob was wrestling away, and he got his hip pulled out, and it healed. But we're never told that it was healed. We're told that his conversion involved that limp. Every time he walked, he had a physical remembrance of what God had done for him. Let's look in chapter 22 of Luke. And look what happened with Peter. Everybody knows Peter. Peter is one of those characters I love. You never know. He would be 1 minute weeping and the next minute he'd be pulling out his sword. Peter just didn't fully get it sometimes. But in chapter 22, verse 54, Peter has been told before this by Christ that he will deny him 3 times before the cock crows. And Peter's answer was, "No, I won't. I will die with you." Well, let's look what happened. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard, they sat down together. Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You are one of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And then about an hour had passed, another confidently, firmly saying, "Surely this fellow was with him, for he's a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." And immediately, while he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and he said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now there's more here than meets the eye. Peter denied Christ 3 times. But when the rooster crowed, Peter was still arrogant enough that he didn't realize what he had done. But then Peter turns around, and the Lord turns and looks at Peter, and at that moment Peter remembers the Lord's words, "You shall deny me 3 times before the cock crows." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know, I don't think it was the denying of Christ that really drove Peter to weep bitterly. But I believe what made Peter weep bitterly was the fact that he looked into Jesus' eyes. And Jesus' eyes were not filled with hatred or bitterness or anger or meanness. Jesus was not mad at Peter. Jesus' eyes were probably filled with tears because he knew Peter had done what he was going to do. Jesus' eyes were filled with that deep, compassionate love that Peter had seen so many times for those that were sick, for those that were demon-possessed, for those that needed to be healed. Peter saw in those eyes that compassion that Jesus had when he called Lazarus out of the grave, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Peter saw in that moment that love, that God sent love. And then Peter realized what he had done. He had not just denied his friend. He had not just denied the man he had walked with for 3 years. He had denied his knowledge of the Son of God. And from that point forward, Peter was a changed man. Peter was different. That was the turning point in Peter's life, to become more reliant on the Lord and less reliant on himself, to become more of what God needed and less of what Peter wanted. See, when we have the Damascus Road experience, that's what happens to us. We're brought to that point for many different circumstances and reasons. Paul hated Christians and thought he was right and was persecuting them in every way he could. And God had a bigger purpose. Jacob, he was just out to do and get whatever he could. Jacob was always out for number one. And then God turned him around. Peter was very self-sufficient. Peter was the bold one, the in-control one. And yet, when he saw those eyes of Jesus, he wept bitterly. I don't know what your Damascus Road experience is or will be, but I'll share mine with you. Many years ago, Mary and I were going through some troubled times, and we were searching and seeking for the Lord, and we wanted to be in the right place. That's why this is called His Will Ministry. You'll never find this ministry doing anything that is not the will of God. That is the whole basis and premise of His Will Ministry, is that God's will be done. The preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the feeding of the hungry, the visiting of the sick, the helping of the poor, the clothing of the naked. His will be done. That's the purpose of this will, the will of this ministry. Many years ago, we were at a turning point, and Mary and I always had our own Damascus, I guess you would call it. We would go out into a little desert area of Colorado that we had, and many times we would go out there in the fall and the spring, and it would not be unusual that we wouldn't even see a human being. Sometimes we wouldn't even see him for a week on end. And we were out there, and I was praying. We were getting ready to leave and go back into the world. And I walked away from Mary and our daughters, and I just hiked down a little canyon, and I kneeled down, and I started weeping towards the Lord. And I don't even remember what the fullness of my prayer was. I don't even remember the depth of it. I don't even remember what I was talking to the Lord about or what I was asking Him. I just know that my heart was rent, and I was weeping, and I was sorrowful, and I was seeking Him. And I didn't have any knowledge or any notice of anything happening around me. But as I was praying, a hand came upon my shoulder and held it. And a voice as clear as day said, "It will be all right, my son." Now, I'll tell you, to be 100% honest, I came flying up off of that ground, and I was looking around as my eyes were adjusting to the sunlight, trying to see who in the world had just walked up behind me and grabbed my shoulder and told me it will be all right. I was alone. There was no one there. There had been no one there but the Lord. That was my Damascus Road experience. I was at the end, and I needed God to reassure me that I was going in the direction He wanted. And I sought Him, and I sought Him until He put His hand on my shoulder. And He said, "It will be all right, my son." But I knew that it was Him, because my heart was lifted like it hadn't been in ages. I was free. My spirit had been changed. I was renewed and ready to go forward. When we have that experience with the Lord, And I don't know what yours is or will be, but he will be there for you, and he will make himself known. One of my favorite things I like to tell people when they say, I don't believe in God, I just tell them, well, all you have to do is tell him to prove himself to you, and he will. God wants to be known. God wants to be worshipped and loved. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, we can see Moses' Damascus Road experience. God had been trying to get to Moses. God had work for Moses to do. But instead of doing it, Moses ran away because things just didn't work the way he thought. And in chapter 3 it says, Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked and beheld the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take off your sandals, off your feet, for the place you stand is holy ground. And moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face and was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the opposition and oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because they are taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring up from that land to a good large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression of them which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. To get Moses' attention, God came to him. That day, Moses went from being a murderer, hiding among the fields of Midian, tending sheep, to being one of the greatest men of God that walked the earth, that performed miracles, that gave us the Ten Commandments. Moses' Damascus Road experience, God came to him and led him and gave him the direction he wanted. I guarantee if you seek God, you will find him. And if he has a job for you, he'll let you know what it is. And if he has a call on your life, he'll tell you. Mary and I received our call at the exact same time from the Lord, and that was after a whole weekend of just doing nothing but studying the Bible and praying and supplicating to him. Paul's experience came because God had a use for him. Paul was not expecting to work for Jesus. Paul wanted to persecute Jesus, but God had a better idea. Jacob's conversion came because Jacob was afraid to face his brother, because Jacob knew that he had reached the end point and could no longer do things his way. So he waited alone. Peter's experience came in a different way, because he was bold and brash and knew that he would die for Jesus and he would never, ever deny him. Moses' conversion came where God could get Moses alone by himself and speak to him, because he knew Moses didn't consider himself an eloquent speaker, didn't consider himself worthy. Each one of our Damascus Road experiences are different. Mine occurred in the middle of a desert in Colorado when I was weeping before the Lord, and he reached out and touched me and spoke to me. How will yours be? I don't know. But if you haven't had that Damascus Road experience, if you have not felt the Lord's touch, if you have not heard the Lord's voice, you need to get on your knees and your face and seek the Lord. Get into His Word and get to Him. The Lord tells us time and time and time again that He's only waiting for us to seek Him. If we seek Him, we will find Him. If we ask a question, we will receive the answer. If we knock on the door, He will open it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will follow. There's no excuse if you haven't had your Damascus Road experience, except you're not looking for it. There's no excuse if you don't feel the presence of the Lord close to you. You're not seeking it. Oh yes, there's times where Jesus will be quiet. There's times where you won't hear from the Lord. But He'll let you know He's there. Somewhere or another, He'll let you know He's there. Go for it. Time is short. The world is slowly but surely groaning more and more and more. And the time is now that we need to get down to where the rubber meets the road. Seek that Damascus Road experience. Let the Lord convert you spiritually and physically to what He needs you to be. It's real for today, just as it was in Moses' time, in Jacob's time, in Peter's time, in Paul's time, and in my time when He reached out to me. It's real. It's real for you and I. All you have to do is seek it. Seek, and ye shall find.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to you right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow you. Thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank you that He has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank you, Father, for providing the pardon for sin that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941, or online at info@hiswillministry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@hiswillministry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.